This dick ain't free. To the camera.
This dick ain't free. This dick ain't free.
Okay. I really think your name is Mercedes.
This guy's crazy. I love him.
Hello, humans, and welcome to this bonus episode of Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
And on this episode, we're going to be going into the musical history of one Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar, at this point, is of course known as a multi-Grammy award-winning rapper and musician from Compton, California. Of course, was not always that. At one point, was just hustling with just a couple thousand followers on Twitter. Was just releasing mixtapes, selling them at the back of Burger King and McDonald's at the Compton swap meet. Really going hard in these streets.
Isn't real. And you gotta go to Compton swap meet. Ooh, man.
These are back in the days.
It's like this. What's worse, Compton swap meet or Del Amo swap meet?
Del Amo swap meet. Pretty hard easily. You have the intersection of like Compton, Artesia, Bellflower. Anyways, so we're gonna be talking about Kendrick Lamar. We're gonna be doing like a quick kind of Audio Face style overthrow of most of the major discography. If we went through all the mixtapes, this would be a 3-hour podcast. So we're gonna kind of begin where the mixtapes start to taper off and when we start getting studio albums. And then we'll kind of go through where he is today, where there's different movies and musical projects and singles and the collaboration that is Kendrick Lamar, or the culmination of everything that is Kendrick Lamar. Before we begin, make sure you are following us on Twitter and Instagram at AudioFacePod so you get more music summaries and run-throughs of different musicians as they come out with new music. I currently don't know at time of recording when Kendrick Lamar's new album comes out, but Kendrick Lamar is also one of those artists where there's no album one day and then the next day there's an album. So this is our insurance policy in that case.
Yeah, we want to put it out right now just in case.
Yes. So Kendrick Lamar Duckworth, born in 1987, American rapper, singer. He went by K-Dot originally, also known as Kung Fu Kenny, Cornrow Kenny. Ain't nobody praying for me. And he's gone through all these names. He started rapping and kind of getting on the scene in 2004. Of course, Compton, California scene. So that's the same scene as Snoop Dogg, Nate Dogg, kind of that.
Dr. Dre, there's a bunch.
Yeah, West Coast style.
Mm-hmm.
He formed a kind of super group with Absol, J-Rock, and Schoolboy Q, at one point known as Black Hippie. And that was kind of some of the beginnings of what's now known as Top Dog Entertainment, which has become this, like, you know, a lot of big art. It's like Rockefeller.
Yeah, exactly. It's a huge thing that signs up
quality
a bunch of
control.
Artists.
Artists get together and, like, in their
they
kind
have,
of
they have
sector
more
of rap,
they have more quality control than quality control.
Yeah, no, TDE, I think, is kind of one of the top producers. You've got folks like Sia, I want to say, yeah, Schoolboy Q, J-Rock.
Well, yeah.
TD is a pretty loaded label as far as West Coast and others rap and hip-hop goes. Anyways, but yeah, he was kind of doing that thing. He had a number of different beginning mixtapes from... brain fart. C4 was not an early mixtape, but that was like kind of near... where Kendrick is really starting to hit his stride. At this point, he's gotten co-signs from Lil Wayne. All these people are kind of signing on, saying like, yo, this guy's really good. He's got something really coming. Don't make sure to not sleep on Kendrick Lamar. And that sort of started continuing on until, yeah, let's see. His first mixtape was called YHNIC, or Hub City Threat Minor of the Year. Then came Training Day, No Sleep Till NYC. Then you get to C4. The first mixtape was 2004, and then C4 is 2009. Overly Dedicated is in 2010, which I'll start like kind of getting into the music wise.
So isn't there one with Overly Dedicated? There's a few relatively prominent artists that are featured on that album, if I recall.
Overly Dedicated, yeah. I mean, like Overly Dedicated is a really interesting thing because this is 2010, and you're kind of getting like a early insight into who are going to be some of the top artists like 5 or 6 years in the
future. Because I think like Jhené Aiko's on it, I'm pretty sure, and a couple others.
We going, we should be slowing down. We're what she said to me. That place I used to call home is just a bed to me. And we don't even sleep, neighbors can hear her weep. Meanwhile, I'm in these streets with everybody. I'm trying to get it, and she know they got me. I watch her feelings watch me as they staring with the saddest eyes of loneliness. Look each other in the face and barely blink.
Schoolboy Q.
Super Q, yeah.
BJ the Chicago Kid also grew since then.
He's also on Section 8 for sure. Section 80 for sure.
Yeah. Absol. So yeah, you get a lot of these. It's really fun to go into like mixtape culture. I think like just how you could do an episode on like SoundCloud house mixes. Mixtape culture is this whole different thing of like you see all these artists when they're roughing it, like when they're really hustling, and it's nice. It's like watching TV shows in the 90s to see celebrities that are now big actors now when they got their like first roles in Hollywood and they weren't know what they're doing. It's nice to kind of see that. But yeah, that song, Growing Apart to Get Closer from Kendrick Lamar's Overly Dedicated with Jhené Aiko, you can kind of see a lot of what Kendrick Lamar had gotten to up with this point, which was a mix of to the streets rap music with rap as a form of storytelling and poetry, kind of trying to mix that with R&B elements, with love, with loss, with witnessing really traumatic things.
And you can hear that into up until his most recent work as well.
Yes. How that changes is how he kind of packages that message. Because I think all artists, they get better and better at packaging that message as it goes on. In the beginning, Kendrick Lamar is very much like scattered. He knows what he wants to do with the story. He knows what kind of storyteller he wants to be. It's just being able to tell that story and put it down the right way. Because even his early mixtapes have interludes and things that actually put the mixtape together. Yes, there is your classic like announcer going new Kung Fu Kenny, stuff like you get in all mixtapes, but there's also like stuff that brings it thematically going forward, which many mixtapes do, but it shows Kendrick's out of flair for using an album to tell a story. But I think we do get into the really interesting Kendrick Lamar once we start getting to the album mode, which begins with Section 80, which was released in 2011. It is 54 songs long, 32 minutes. And yeah, this is his first studio album proper. And yeah, this album kind of came on with like a lot of like sleeper hits that slowly kind of rose to the top of being like in the rap echelon. At once at this point, yeah, Kendrick Lamar is pretty much known in the underground scene, along with J. Cole. It's like a watch these guys. They're lyrically like the next shit that's going to happen. You kind of go into it. Fuck Your Ethnicity is like a normal intro, and again, like you'll see, Kendrick Lamar has a lot of themes and tropes he goes on through his albums with religion and race and social structures and all that stuff. But really, where Kendrick Lamar where it gets like a boom, a real blow up, is the song ADHD. Purple label on her back, but that dab is like blue. She take it straight to the head. Then she look at me, she got ADHD. 8 doobies to the face, fuck that. 12 bottles in the case, nigga, fuck that. 2 pills in the halfway, nigga, fuck that. Got a high tolerance when your age don't exist. Like, whoa, whoa. It was just played in like clubs and bars
it's
and
everywhere.
Commercials and everywhere.
That's probably what, if you didn't know him from his early scenes, that'll probably be your first interaction with Kendrick's songs.
Yeah.
For sure, be ADHD. ADHD would be one of the earliest ones.
Yeah. There's a lot of just really good like classics.
Ronald Reagan era goes hard.
I was just listening to that actually. V90 like it's the 90s. Bullet to your temple, your homicidal remind me that Compton crib niggas ain't none to fuck with. Compton pop rules ain't none to fuck with. Compton essays ain't none to fuck with. But they fuck with me and bitch I love it.
Fucking awesome song. You have like Keisha's song featuring Astrobot. I like on that album as well. And you saw you have
that's a shout out to, because in the chorus that he's singing is like fancy girls on Long Beach Boulevard.
Fancy girls on Long Beach Boulevard, flagging down all of these flashy cars. And Lord knows she's beautiful. Lord knows the usual is leaving her body sore. Her anatomy is God's temple, and it's quite simple. Her castle is about to be destroyed. She's always paranoid, watching the law inside the streets, undercovers and dummies that look like decoys. Interesting. All right, I'm gonna come in this Corolla right here. BJ the Chicago Kid's also in this album as well.
Yeah, Cushion Corinthians, which is a very Kendrick classic kind of style song. But yeah, it's Section 80 was kind of trying to tell like the trap the West Coast trap lifestyle that Kendrick Lamar is kind of surrounded around. Kendrick Lamar is kind of constantly playing with this tough guy versus adjacent to the tough guy's persona, where he's not necessarily like the gangbanger or the dealer, but he's like around all those guys. Those are all of his friends. And like, to some extent, he has to front and play that as a form of survival. And also he's fronting and playing that in his music to kind of show how a person deals with these pressures in society and how it shapes them as a person and how it shapes them in lives around them and the lives they lose and stuff like that. So it's a really thorough project. Yeah, 54 minutes long. It wasn't too long, but did like tell a full thing. There's also songs like Rick and Mortis, which just shows like Kendrick Lamar's just lyrical prowess. It was super hard clearing that sample. I don't think they fully did in the end, but yeah, it was just a really good kind of start off for like album Kendrick.
And then you have Good Kid, Mad City, which came out the following year, which is 13 songs, an hour, 13 minutes long. And this is the album that really took him to another level for sure. I wish I got into him when this album came out, because I remember you told me about this in high school when this album came out. And I there was two songs I definitely listened to a lot, but I didn't get into the rest of the album until a few years later, which Bitch Kid, Don't Kill My Vibe and Money Trees with J-Rock. That's the first time I heard J-Rock as well. Was on Money Trees.
Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe is going to be another one of those, like, if you somehow didn't hear Kendrick Lamar because of ADHD, you're definitely going to hear
Bitch Kill My Vibe.
Like,
everyone should know that one.
Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe. Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe. I can feel your energy from two planets away. I got my drink, I got my music, I was sharing what you need. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. 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 I'm trying to keep it alive and not compromise the feeling we love. You're trying to keep it deprived and only co-sign what radio does. And I'm looking right past you. We live in a world, we live in a world.
Yeah, it's now part of just modern lexicon at this point.
Yeah.
But not to cut you off, because I wanted to like make a
And then he had Money Trees with a song with J-Rock,
which is one of many future wonderful J-Rock collaborations to have.
Exactly. And I remember listening to that. Those were two that stuck out when I listened to this album when it came out.
Gang signs at the window, yeah, bitch. Hoping our love won't offend you, yeah, bitch. They say your hood is a pot of gold. And we go crash it when nobody's home.
When you showed it to me, I'm like, okay, I like these. But the rest, I don't know, because I wasn't getting into rap as much and stuff on that time. Because you had Poetic Justice with Drake, and that was, I think, the first time that him and Drake might have collabed.
Yeah.
And they've done, you know, plenty of stuff after that.
Which even for Drake, that was like not a terrible song. Lived up to being on a Kendrick Lamar album.
Yeah, and this was in 2012, so this was the one Drake was
peaking.
Was peaking, exactly, before he went super fuckboy and made the same song 45 times a year. So if you want to keep going, A Good Kid,
the other song that definitely people would get off of Good Kid, Mad City is Swimming Pools.
The drink song.
Wake up, yeah. drink. Stand up, drink.
Head shot. Drink. Sit down.
Drink.
Stand up.
Drink.
Pass out.
Drink.
Wake up.
Drink.
Fade it.
Drink.
Fade it.
Drink. Okay. Now open your mind up and listen to me, Kendrick. I'm in your conscience. If you do not hear me, then you will be history, Kendrick. I know that you're nauseous right now, and I'm hoping to lead you to victory, Kendrick.
If I take another one down, I'ma drown in some poison, abusing my limit. I think that I'm feeling the vibe. I see the love in her eyes. I see the feeling of freedom is granted as soon as the damage of I can
arrive. And what you're really getting with Kendrick Lamar here is that you lose an appreciation now where every single rapper or trap album kind of comes out with the same five or six beats. Every Kendrick Lamar album, really a little bit with Overly Dedicated, but really starting with Section 80 and Good Kid, Mad City, the instrumentation was a little bit of old, a little bit of new, always. Like, it was, that was just like a Kendrick Lamar standard. You would always get aspects of funk and jazz and soul, like, and then aspects of the new, the grittier, the raw. It was always usually just an ode to black music and blackness in America in general, is what Kendrick Lamar kind of created the musical persona to try to do to the best of his ability as a flawed person at the time. Mm-hmm. And you do kind of get all of that kind of coming all around, because all of the bangers, like Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe, like Money Trees and Swimming Pools, they're all dark songs with deep bass, so it pits all the rap notes. But they have a lot of melodical, like, movement and range and, like, volume. And there's differences, there's voices, there's conflict happening between here. It's like a full grand production kind of happening, somehow working its way into mainstream club hits. And so it's just really incredible. It's like he's a almost like a preacher almost, but in wrapped in songs that anyone can really enjoy in that kind of context.
Yeah, it's what started to get him up the up track of becoming one of the best rap artists in the world. And then you have
so that was 2012 when Good Kid, Mad City came out. There was a deluxe album that followed before then, and then it was kind of quiet from Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, he didn't have that many features in that time period. For that, he maybe have one or two here or there.
A couple here and there, yeah.
But nothing like what he is now, obviously, today, where he's featured in a bunch of stuff, but we'll get to that later. Then you have
Let's pause right here. So, like, if we're going really quickly through all of Kendrick Lamar as a person, as a celebrity's, like, history, he starts doing the grind in, like, being a musician. He starts touring with artists and celebrities, and, like, Snoop Dogg and all these other people have him out on stage saying, watch out, this is the next, like, king of hip-hop right here. Mm-hmm. And then he releases these two albums. There's a lot of critical success. Kendrick Lamar is doing really well off of the previous album, Good Kid, Mad City. And so at this point in Kendrick Lamar's, like, repertoire and style, there's a lot of different directions he can really go in and do. There's a lot where he could choose to experiment and go down into, but at the same time, as I said, where all of his albums have this sort of trope, even his mixtapes, if you would have been listening up to this point, you would tell that, okay, a Kendrick Lamar album has this kind of format where it's going to be very heady, there's going to be a lot of different vibes in it, there's going to be a lot of different messages, it's going to be a little bit about women and men and religion and all these different larger factors and issues. But it's going to tell this story, and at worst, if you're going to start to critique these albums, it gets a little bit over itself with trying to explain its message, which is what a lot of good albums with artists who have a lot of message in their music tend to do, is they get too caught up in that message itself.
Right.
Too many interludes, too many, like, random stuff here. It's just like, we get it, to the music, dude, which is kind of the problem with some of the albums started having. But nevertheless, yeah, Kendrick Lamar kind of top of the game before we get to Pimp a Butterfly. Ready for that?
Yes.
So Pimp a Butterfly comes out in 2015, 16 songs long, an hour and 18 minutes long. And this is, like, the best and worst of Kendrick Lamar in that regard.
This is the album that got me really into his music, though.
Yeah, this is the album that really cemented, I think, Kendrick Lamar. I mean, I kind of said that about the other ones, but to Pimp a Butterfly, I think for a lot of people thought that was going to be Kendrick Lamar's peak before Damn happened. Damn is, like, the rest is history kind of thing.
Yeah.
But everyone kind of thought Kendrick Lamar's, like, okay, you've created this, like, magnum opus to black slavery, to reparations, to the civil rights struggle.
Yeah, there's
all these
so
different
much stuff
in
America within To Pimp a Butterfly.
I think The Pimp a Butterfly is the album that won Kendrick Lamar a Pulitzer Prize for the way it documented American culture.
Yeah.
Hey, it's your favorite disembodied deep voice post-production Dan. Just a clarification, Kendrick Lamar didn't win a Pulitzer from To Pimp a Butterfly. He won it from Damn, the album that comes after that, which we'll be talking about in a couple minutes. So just that clarification.
Because there's a song specifically, King Kunta, for me, that when I listen to that track, I go, holy crap. Bitch, where you and I was walking, now I run again, got the whole world talking. King Kunta, everybody wanna cut the legs off. King Kunta, black man taking no losses. Oh yeah. Bitch, where you and I was walking, now I run again, got the whole world talking. King Kunta, everybody wanna cut the legs off. You goat mouth mammy fucker. I was gonna kill a couple rappers, but they did it to themselves. Everybody's suicidal, they didn't even need my help. This shit is elementary, I'd probably go to jail if I shoot at your identity and bounce to the left. Stuck a flag in my city, everybody's screaming Compton. I should probably run for mayor when I'm done. To be honest, and I put that on my mama and my baby boo too. 20 million walking out the court, Betty, woo woo. He's really good. It's one of my favorite rap songs of the decade to come out by far. Yeah. One of my most listened to. I had that shit on repeat when it came out. Also, you have For Free, the interlude, which is their intro to the podcast, which when it first came out, I was, I'm pretty sure when this came out, this was in like May of 2015 or something, because it was when I was up in Berkeley with you when it came out. I'm pretty sure, because I remember we put this interlude on. I'm like, oh my god, this is everything. And then it went to King Kucha.
Yeah, because it starts with like this jazz funk. It's partially, yeah. It's, yeah.
And then you have like conversation and stuff going on. And then you go into the beautifulness of this album. And there's so much into it that, I mean, you have these walls with Bilal and a Wise, Thundercat. Thundercat goes hard in that, the production of it. I mean, there's.
Yeah. You is an amazing song. All Right just became like the protest anthem, yep, for like, yep, America and Black Lives Matter. When you know we've been hurt, been down before, nigga, when our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go, nigga? And we hate po-po, wanna kill us dead in the street for sure, nigga. I'm at the preacher's door, my knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright, all right, nigga, all right. We gon' be alright, nigga, we gon' be alright. Like, it was like the song of a year. It was a song of a movement for like that.
You have institutionalized.
Which, like, if I could just pause on All Right, yeah, for a moment. Like, a lot of conscious rap music and a lot of conscious music in general is usually about like the problems and all of that stuff. And in the cycles of oppression, you can get to the point where you're just stuck in those cycles and you're down and depressed about it. Mm-hmm. But All Right is kind of a almost defiantly positive song, and that like no matter what everyone's going through, we're gonna be all right, we're gonna, yes, be together, we're gonna be all right, using that as a chant of defiance against the powers that be. Yeah. I think that's a really, like, again, for Kendrick Lamar, in the context of everything else that's in that album, to have that twist of, okay, we're not gonna be all down about this, we're gonna have each other's backs and be all right about it, was like, yeah, song of the year,
it's
level shit.
It's fantastic. Like
pumping, yeah, Grammys, just this, in the, yeah, everyone's dead body.
And this is when everyone knew, okay, he's...
He's like, okay, Kendrick is going off.
Kendrick is an amazing artist. But again, like we said, a lot of people thought that this was going to be his peak. And I thought so too. And when he releases, I'm like, I don't know how you top Timbuk Butterfly. Granted, there are issues with the album. It was really long when I listened to it because it's an hour and 20 or hour and 19 minutes long. I remember that part where there's some stuff where there's a little bit of filler, a little bit too much, where you could have chopped it down.
And it's like Kendrick Lamar shit. But stuff he's been doing since mixtape era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But as you're saying.
That's the blessing and curse you get with him.
Yeah.
The thing with him after this was then he started to feature on a lot of more music, a lot of different artists, and then started having him on. And this is when I really started to understand, really get into Kendrick, where he became one of my favorite rappers. Because on features, on most of those tracks, he would make the track he was on better by being on it, for the most part.
Yeah.
Example, like, it's a few years later, but, like, you know how much I hate Travis Scott. There's only a few Travis Scott songs I like it, and one of them is Goosebumps, that features Kendrick Lamar. I get those goosebumps every time, yeah, when you're not around, when you throw that to the side, yeah. I get those goosebumps every time. I wanna press my line, yeah, I wanna press my... I wanna green like, I wanna be like, I wanna press my line, yeah. I wanna take that ride, yeah. I'm gonna press my line. I wanna green like, I wanna be like, I wanna press my. Mama dear, spare your feelings, I'm reliving moments, feeling more residual. I can buy the building, burn the building, take your bitch, rebuild the because building. Because his flow on the second half of that song is amazing. And you have song with Vince Staple on Big Fish Theory that Kendrick is part of. Fantastic.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Like, his part into that was fantastic. Really. Amplified the song into it a little bit more, and he did that with a bunch of other works that he's had throughout his career. And that's when I really got appreciation for him, and especially as an artist, because it's an issue that a lot of rap, trap, hip-hop, R&B artists have when they're featured on. Sometimes they make it too personalized, but with Kendrick, he can usually form into have his own flow, his own fling into it, and you can tell it's him, obviously, but he morphs into whatever the artist necessarily wants. Like with Drake features, usually he's very good with J-Rock. We've heard that with J. Cole. We've heard that with a couple of his features on it, and he always amplifies it and makes it better, which is extremely rare to do.
Yeah, it's a skill to be an artist and know when to take the exact amount of space you should exactly. for a song and to, yeah, as you were saying, compliment the artist you're featuring on, which is definitely a skill Kendrick got to have later in this. But before we get to Damn, because there's a lot to talk about that,
yeah.
I will take a brief pause into Untitled Unmastered.
Which is a bunch of...
Yes, Untitled Unmastered yeah. feels like B-sides from To Pimp a Butterfly. Mm-hmm. Although, error-wise, some of it could have been like some leftovers from Good Kid, Mad City. But let's just say it's B-sides from To Pimp a Butterfly. I think it's a rare look when you get an artist at their most raw, their most like unfinished. Literally, mm-hmm. it's untitled, unmastered. None of these songs have finished.
And they have just the dates that so what some of them were done or whatever their last worked on. Even once on Untitled 7 spanned 2 years. So you yeah. see how much work goes on into the tracks. And it's cool because again, yeah, you don't get to see that raw file, that raw thing of like he put it out there and say, hey, this is what I've worked on. It's never going to be finished, but this is what came out of it.
Yeah.
It's
like
cool.
You got it with Jaipal's Bait Ones, where
yes,
like, you
exactly.
just like that was again different story with that, but
because
you accidentally
leaked,
yeah
but...
you accidentally see an artist in the middle of it. When I think it's something to separate between when you have artists who brag about being able to Offset and Drake went on tour and for each of their 50 tour dates they made a song every day. It's like okay,
it's like,
that's fine.
And...
You can do that, or you can like meticulously. Yeah.
Hone in your
over
craft.
A 4-minute song. Like, that is a lot
And
of work.
That's what we enjoy. Because we like quality over quantity any day of the week.
Absolutely. My favorite Kendrick Lamar song, period, of all time.
Really?
Is Untitled 3. Yes.
Untitled 3 is really good. But that's interesting. I did not know that was your favorite.
Yes. He takes on the persona of different people, a black person, a white person, a Native American
yeah.
person, goes through their struggles, their perspectives. And it's kind of describing the same person. And it's really a reflective song about Kendrick Lamar and his rise and his own, like, power.
A peace of mind. That's what the white man wanted when I rhyme. Telling me that he's selling me just for $10.99. If I go platinum from rapping, I do the company fine. What if I compromise? He said it don't even matter. You make a million or more. You're living better than average. You're losing your core. Following, gaining it all. He put a price on my talent. I hit the bank and withdraw. Hit the bank and withdraw. Hit the bank and withdraw. Put myself in the rocket ship and I shot for the stars. Look at what you accomplishing. What he said to the bar. I'ma make you some promises that you just can't ignore. Your profession anonymous as an artist. If
is he, you know, all the usual struggles. Is he remembering where he came from enough? Is he doing right with his path?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's actually a great intermediary between To Pimp a Butterfly and Damn, actually, in that, because it's like, when in Damn, it's like Kendrick Lamar becomes this other thing.
Yes.
But before that, it's like you get to see the person right before
the
they're coming to that thing.
Rapper,
they're like,
yeah.
not the conscious rapper, but just like, I am on the path to like above greatness. It's like the Beyonce level of like, mm-hmm. anything I do right now is basically perfect. Everyone's going to like it. What do I do with the art from this point? And it's like that point where you're kind of wondering what you do there. It's like you're still mortal before you become
yeah.
immortal. It's those last moments of that. And I think it's a beautiful song. It ends really passionately and powerfully. Also, fun fact, on the Colbert Report on Comedy Central's last week, this was one of the last vocal performances.
Oh,
Kendrick Lamar decided to just go on the Colbert Report and did Untitled 3 before Untitled Unmastered was even a thing. So this was like the first leak of it. It's a really good
it's
song.
Cool.
I think it's really powerful. But yeah, it's a prelude to Damn.
Damn. For Audioface old heads, the lost episode of Audioface, the very first one was our review of Damn, which is...
I gotta drop that at some point. I have the file.
He somehow still has that file, which I thought was lost forever. And this is a masterpiece. It's 14 songs, 55 minutes long. My only gripe with it is that all the goddamn tracks are in caps and periods, and you know my gripe with that.
Not your favorite thing.
But my favorite Kendrick songs are in here for sure. Obviously, you have like Blood starts out as like kind of like a little interlude piece. DNA goes into it, and it's like that's a really, really good just. In your face song, it's beautiful, especially that second part where he just goes into that flow and just boom after like verse after verse after verse after verse.
Inheriting money and power, the maker emeritus. Tell me something, you motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation, but DNA an abomination. This how it is when you in the matrix, dodging bullets, reaping what you're sowing, stacking up the footage, living on the go and sleeping in the villa, sipping from a Grammy, walking in the building, diamond in the ceiling, marble on the floors, beaches out the window, peeking out the window.
Gets you pumped up and then abruptly stops right at the end, and then you go into yeah. Which is a good little song in between DNA and Element, because you like those are two extremely powerful songs, so you got to figure out how to do that. Element's hilarious because I just love it. It's like, just if I gotta slap him, gotta make it look sexy, which is just a fucking power move.
If I gotta slap a pussy ass nigga, I'ma make it look sexy. If I gotta go hard on a bitch, I'ma make it look sexy. I pull up, hop out, air out, made it look sexy. They won't take me out my element. Nah, take me out my element. I'm allergic to a bitch, nigga, ay. An imaginary rich nigga, ay. Seven figures, how that slimmer than my bitch figure, ay. Going digital and physical and all y'all, ay. Bunch of criminals and money in my phone calls,
ay. Unbelievable. Like, again, like, Kendrick Lamar, when this year the album came out, again, it was a surprise. No one knew it was coming. Yep. And then Kendrick was, like, printing hits.
And the
Element was a hit. Royalty was a hit.
You can tell your nigga he can meet me outside. You can babysit him when I leave him outside. Ain't no other love like the one I know. I done been down so long, lost hope. I done came down so hard, I slow. I done sleep forever, all a real nigga won't. I said I'm geek and I'm fired up. All I want tonight is just get high. All I want is, all I want is loyalty, loyalty, loyalty.
You have loyalty to Rihanna. You only have three features on here, which are Rihanna, Zachary, which is Love, which is might be my favorite track on here, actually. Hmm. And then Triple X featuring you too.
Yeah.
Which was super random. I remember when I saw the album, like, when I thought, okay, let me look, what are the features? I'm like, U2?
I was afraid to listen to the U2 song, yeah, but it worked out.
It was very, very good.
God bless you if it's good to you. America, please take my. Throw a steak off the ark to a pool full of sharks, he'll take it. Leave him in the wilderness with a sworn nemesis, he'll make it.
Take the two guys, I love their old stuff a lot. You have obviously Loyalty with Rihanna, which is huge. You have Humble, which is a fantastic song.
I'm so fucking sick and tired of the Photoshop. Show me something natural like Afro on Richard Pryor. Show me something natural like ass with some stretch marks. Still a take you down right on your mama's couch in polo sock. Hey, this shit way too crazy. Hey, you do not amaze me. Hey, I blew cool from AC. Hey, Obama just paged me. Hey, I don't fabricate it. Hey, most of y'all be faking. Hey, they modest about it, ayy. She elaborated, ayy. This that great poupon, that AV on that TED talk, ayy. Watch my
Pride before that's really good as well. Love for me is just like a beautiful little ballad. The production of it, everything is, to me, it's one of my, it's might be my favorite Kendrick track, either that or King Kunta. It depends what mood I'm in.
If I'm in my mind, at work, would you still? Keep it 100, I'd rather you trust me than two. Keep it a whole 100, don't got you, I got nothing. Run for my money. There is nobody, no one that'll run me. So give me a run for my money. Sipping bubbly, feeling lovely. Living lovely.
But to me, that just does. Plays on his soft and his hard side at the same time, and you can see like a conflict between going on throughout the song. You have this beautiful vocal that's going on top of it throughout it. The production of it is crisp, it's clear, and it has a really good message. And it's one of those songs that it could go either way. It could be a masterpiece, or it can go down as to being just way too fuckboy or not genuine. And obviously, it goes into being a masterpiece. And to me, this is when Kendrick is like, okay, this is one of the best artists on the planet right now. It's ridiculous. Again, then you right after that you have Triple X featuring you too, which I didn't know how that was gonna go, and it went very well. You have Fear and God right after those two, which is very, very powerful tracks as well. I think God doesn't get enough credit for it, but it's hard because it's outshined by a bunch of other stuff on it.
Yeah, I mean, imagine it's like, being like the most understated song on Kendrick Lamar's Damn.
Is God, which is hilarious. And then you have Duxworth, which is obviously his last name, into it, which goes into a little bit of family stuff into that song as well. And is one of the rare things that we do like on Audio Face is it wraps up an album perfectly, which is hard to do.
Which is doubly hard to do when you consider the Damn Collector's Edition. So later on, Kendrick Lamar described that Damn was meticulously crafted so that you could play the album track list reversed and it would still work.
Yes.
Not fully backmask Beatles is apparently saying something different to you when you play it actually in reverse, but like if Blood is the last song and Duckworth is the first song and you play it through that, which I listened to actually more recently, it kind of works. Like there are ways where sometimes it makes more sense to hear songs like DNA and Ya before Element, and sometimes it makes more sense to hear songs like XXX and Love before Loyalty.
Yes.
So like, there's extra thought added to it, making it sound good going in different directions.
Which is a super so skill. Unique to do.
Yeah.
There's not many people that can do that and be able to pull off at a relatively mainstream level.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
More themes are from this album. It's, again, this is more like religious focus. A lot of these are like Seven Deadly Sins or Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Just different urges that humans have and trying to deal with them and trying to manage and not manage all of these feelings and emotions. So it runs the gamut of all of that. It's a true like concept album that is produced so crisply, so perfectly that, yeah, I had to go back. Up until we did 50 of the 10s when we were trying to figure out which Kendrick Lamar album got to the place it did.
Yeah.
And Audio Face listeners can go back and listen to that episode for all 50 of the best albums that we did of the 2010s. But it was between To Pimp a Butterfly and Damn. And going back, To Pimp a Butterfly it had a lot of good bangers on it, but it was very, very flawed. And then it was just like, the message it was trying to make, it's a very grand message and it's a very good message. But when compared to how tightly packed Damn was, Damn is the Kendrick Lamar album that Kendrick was trying to make for so long, where it packed all of his storytelling and all of his message into something that was tight enough and didn't feel like it had too much filler. Exactly. And all the filler that's there is like art. Like all the little asides and the songs doing different stuff actually enhances the song, like in XXX or like in DNA and Ya, and like the asides help and add to it. So yeah, Damn is just like top thing. And yeah, that after Damn are all the LPs that Kendrick Lamar has made up to this point at time of recording, but that's not the end of like Kendrick Lamar is just like kill streak, I guess, as it were, because then the Disney, Marvel, whatever company that is now, decided to announce that they were going to turn the Black Panther comics into their latest Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. And Kendrick Lamar was going to do the soundtrack for it, largely.
And Kendrick Lamar and SZA were the... Yeah.
I think it's on Spotify, it's put kind of weirdly, but essentially it was a deal between Disney, Marvel, and Kendrick Lamar, Top Dog Entertainment.
Yeah.
So it included TV, like
for sure.
Everyone from Top Dog Entertainment and a couple others. So like of course you have SZA there and
Schoolboy Q,
All the Stars is like the main song for Black Panther. Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You can bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me. Fuck you and all your expectations. I don't even want your congratulations. I recognize your false confidence and calculated promises. All in your conversations. Schoolboy Q was on a couple others. J-Rock was on a song on there too.
Because it was on Keen's Dead. You have that, which is on J-Rock's album that came out that same year, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Which is with Kendrick Lamar, Future, and James Blake. And that I really like Keen's Dead, except Future's part.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny
But it's legendary because Slob on Me Knob won a Grammy.
Slob on Me Knob won a Grammy. And that's one of those songs, again, where I said where Kendrick is featured on it. I really like this flow for the lawn version of Keen's Dead, where like transforms when he goes in his red light, green light part. I really like that because it's just, that song is just the production. It's like, at the end of it, it starts to get a little repetitive and a little slow. And then once his part comes onto it gives it extra life for that song. And then it kind of it fades off the end. It's a perfect little thing onto it. Fuck integrity, fuck your pedigree, fuck your feeling, fuck your culture, fuck your world, fuck your family, fuck your tribe, fuck your land, fuck your children, fuck your wives. Who am I? Not your father, not your brother, not your reason, not your future, not your comfort, not your reverence, not your glory, not your heaven, not your angel, not your spirit, not your message, not your freedom, not your people, not your neighbor, not your baby, not your equal, not the title y'all want me under. I am King Killmonger. Red light, green light, red light, green light, red light, green light, green light, green light, fast. But it's one of the, again with the soundtrack, it shows you how creative he is and how much he can do onto it. And it's one of those things where usually when an artist, depending on what it is for a soundtrack, they can either be overwhelmed or they can't do it justice per se. There's very few artists that can do it, and he did a fantastic job with Black Panther. That's one thing that even people who are really big Marvel heads or really big film goers and whatnot, who aren't necessarily in the music scene at all, they all, a lot of them said that while the soundtrack was fantastic. A lot of people said it. I mean, it won awards, this and that, and deservedly so.
And it went really well with the film, too. Exactly. I saw the film, yes. And it went really well with all of it. Even Pray For Me, The Weeknd, and Kendrick Lamar's.
You know, pray for me. Keep my pain for me. Save my soul for me. Cause I'm alone to see. If I won't die for you. If I won't kill for you. I fight the world, I fight you, I fight myself. I fight God, just tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, flood on my doorsteps. Life and live in hell, puddles of
now, Notorious song, because of that lawsuit it almost got in, but just recently won the battle for. Yeah, well, it's just like...
You shouldn't have even gotten a lawsuit for that.
Yeah, but like the other weird thing is, like, these end up being some of the biggest songs of the year for a movie soundtrack. King's Dead, All the Stars, Pray For Me. These were songs that were playing everywhere. The Ways with Swae Lee.
With Swae Lee.
And Khaled, that song was everywhere.
Free Slim Jimmy.
Free Slim. I mean, that was fine. It was just like a duet thing. But yeah. That was really good. The Vince Staples song, Ops.
The Vince Staples, Ops, yeah. Miami, Georgia Smith. Like, there's so much on the soundtrack that is ridiculous. It's very, very good. Well done.
Since then, so Kendrick's features since then have been kind of a little bit random.
It's sporadic, depending on who he wants to work with. But I mean, it goes, as I said before earlier, all his features are very good. I know he did stuff on Schoolboy Q's album.
He did something on Schoolboy Q's album, yeah. I think. He did something on 2 Chainz' more recent album, Rapper Go to the League, Mama I Hit a Lick. He did Anderson .Paak's album, I want to say. Or is it just that Anderson .Paak just sounds like Kendrick Lamar to me, so I confuse them.
I think he was on Oxnard, I'm pretty sure. Right? Or is Ventura? I don't know. They're...
Tense. Yeah, okay. So it was Oxnard.
Oxnard, yeah.
Yeah.
Because remember, that was one thing where I listened to, I'm like, because Anderson .Paak had the songs like Kendrick Lamar. I remember that song, I'm like, who's who?
are they like battle rapping each other? Are they shadowboxing? Like, what's going on? Before we end, I will say there is one notable thing about Kendrick Lamar, because I did have this take a couple of years ago. So there was this thing that was going on with XXXTentacion back when he was still alive and making music. There was a little bit of a semi-reckoning that was going on in the early spring of, I want to say, 2018?
17.
Around the year before he was still alive. So like 18.
18.
And... yeah, there's this controversy over whether artists, or mainly the streaming platforms, Apple, Spotify, all those, would continue to hand royalties to artists who are found of doing like different issues of misconduct. So like XXXTentacion was part of it, but I think there are some other artists.
There's
rock artists as well. Yeah. Where they were gonna say like,
are they under lawsuits for a lot of it usually has to do with like domestic violence or stuff on those lines, and for XXX, obviously. There's stuff going on with his girlfriend. I mean, we don't need to go into that.
We have whole episodes of Audio Face where we go into that more strongly.
Yeah, but Kendrick defended it.
It was like there was the unfair criticism that I think was being made by a lot of the people who were defending XXXTentacion because they wanted to defend him, even though they were trying to make this point, was that these things were targeting black artists unnecessarily or unfairly because there were white artists who had issues against them, that things that were reported with them that were still being able to be put on the streaming platforms. And that it wasn't a perfectly executed plan in that some artists did slip through, or some artists that were like edge cases where you wouldn't know, but like there were white artists and other who were like were put on the ban list. I was trying to find the link right now, but I couldn't find it. But like there were other artists on there. Mm-hmm. So Kendrick Lamar decided to jump in and say, if you remove XXXTentacion's work, I'm going to pull all of Kendrick Lamar's stuff. That might include Top Dog stuff, which means a bunch of other artists, and we're just going to pull it off of Spotify.
And I was like, that's the wrong move, Kendrick.
Yeah.
That's the wrong hill to die on.
I think that maybe he took it from like the racial edge.
Yeah, naturally.
Perspective. But again, I think that like where are all these people coming in defense of XXXTentacion's black like girlfriend who was being like horribly abused?
Exactly.
Like where again? Like how far does this like? How when is it pseudo wokeness and when is it just like defending a bad guy? So I just think that Kendrick Lamar didn't really go through that, and I had some very forceful words in Audio Phase episode 46, I believe, kind of denouncing this aspect. Where like, yeah, I think Kendrick Lamar needs to, in these statements where he is going to get all grandiose and defend an artist, make sure it's an artist worth defending.
Exactly. If it's someone who is, you could tell is genuinely being racially profiled on it and is it has good character, go ahead, defend him. But you can't. You can never defend Triple X because that dude is one of the worst things that's ever happened for one of the worst music stories we've ever popped on this podcast. So
yeah,
that's our one big gripe with Kendrick was that. And he's never, I don't think he's ever said anything with it. Right?
It sort of just came and went.
It kind of wet fart in the wind and went away.
Because Spotify basically decided to stop doing that program. All the artists who were affected were just like back on Spotify. And so Kendrick Lamar did nothing.
Which is a thing that's hard for Spotify because it's like, where do you
Spotify hit the point where like, oh, we're a platform now. So now we're wading into the free speech conversation.
Exactly, I was going to say. So. Because then if you get someone who does BDS or something, you get rid of them, then it just turns into this whole kerfuffle where you can't win. It's a lose-lose situation. So
yeah, it's hard. I think there is a way to win, but like I think
it's hard as especially the platform.
It's definitely difficult. It's definitely hard to manage. But anyways, that is the storied, random kind of wavering history of Kendrick Lamar. At this time, the person recording this right now, do not presciently understand of a new Kendrick Lamar album coming, although it's been a couple years, and there's been some rumblings that's gonna happen, and yeah, it could happen anytime. So make sure you are subscribed to Audio Phase so you can get that review when we review it. Audio Phase can be found on YouTube at youtube.audioface.show. Make sure you subscribe to us. We upload videos pretty much every weekday from the podcast. You can get the podcast enhanced with music samples. Hope you've been enjoying that. By subscribing to us, by searching Audio Phase Podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen. Sean can be found on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez. I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the Web and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. The entire show can be found on social media on Twitter and Instagram at Audio Phase Pod, and we will talk to you next time. Thank you very much for listening and watching. Cheers. Hi. Ain't nobody praying for me.
Ain't nobody praying for me. Nuka Fukini.